Feast of Maria Goretti. I'm not sure why it's an optional feast. It's not optional for me, I'll tell you that. Her story to me is so compelling, not just for her courage and holiness, but for the transformation of what was the most vile of actions to redemption. Maria Goretti is the youngest canonized saint we have in the Catholic Church. And as she died in 1902, we have a pretty accurate historical record of her death and the circumstances that followed. A lot of our saints from the early years, it became mythology on the things that they do. We don't even know if they're true, and some of the saints that we honor, we're not even sure they existed. But with her, we have everything. We have all the information to see a saint in action. She was born into poverty, and her father moved the family and wife and five siblings to a rural farm to make a better life for themselves. But then the father tragically died 3 years later, and Maria herself was relegated to maintaining the house while her mother worked in the fields, and she worked with a couple of hired hands from the next door farms. Maria's additional role was to cook and clean not only for her family, but for the next door neighbors who were the people that were helping on the farm. All these tasks fell on Maria when she was 9 years old. Don't worry. As soon as after that, Alessandro, one of the neighbor's sons next door, showed his crude upbringing by making lewd comments to Maria when she was over there cooking. At first, he just tormented her verbally, but soon he became more aggressive. And one day, when her mother and the others were out in the fields, he came at a knife and attempted to assault her. She repelled him, calling out that he was committing a mortal sin and would rather die than submit. In fear of her loud protesting that she was screaming out, he brutally stabbed her 14 times. She died slowly the next day. He was quickly arrested, but after vehemently denying his guilt, he finally broke down in the face of overwhelming testimony. Being told that she was soon to die, Maria's final words were those of forgiveness, reminiscent of what we heard when the stoning of Saint Stephen occurred. She said this, "I forgive Alessandro Serinelli, and I want him to be with me in heaven forever." Sent to prison when he was 20, and after 6 years of being in prison, he was on the brink of despair. He was sentenced to 30 years. Then one night, Maria appeared to him in his cell. She smiled at Alessandro and was surrounded by lilies, the flower symbolic of purity. It was also a turning point for him when grace entered his heart. After serving his sentence, Alessandro took up residence in a Capuchin monastery, working in the garden as a tertiary. He asked pardon of Maria's mother and accompanied her to Christmas Mass at the parish church, where he spoke before a hushed congregation, acknowledging his sin and asking God's forgiveness and the pardon of the entire community. From that point on, he lived a beautiful and converted life of holiness, eventually becoming a Franciscan lay brother. Before his death, Alessandro Serinelli wrote a beautiful letter, an open letter to the world. Here are the few words from that letter. "Little Maria was really my light, my protectress, and her help I behaved well during the 27 years in prison and tried to live honestly when I was again accepted amongst the members of society." Maria was canonized in 1950, and I said the youngest canonized saint in the church. Her canonization saw one of the largest groups assembled by St. Peter's Square, and both her mother and Alessandro were present. The relics of Maria Goretti was visited the eastern United States in the fall of 2015, just after I was ordained. And one of the stops was St. Mary's in Elm Grove. I don't know if you remember that. You may have even have gone there to see that. It was the first time that St. Maria Goretti's body had traveled to the United States, and only the second time that it was outside of Italy. I'm drawn to this story for two reasons. The first one is the unbelievable faith of the little ones. We often think that we have to teach our kids faith, and how often they teach us faith. And they're so certain. And we come up with such rationalizations for the things that we do and make excuses for doing bad things when kids just say, no, this is what God wants us to do. It's right. How often we need to listen to the little ones. The second one is really thinking about Alexandro. He reminds me that no one is too far from God. God is present at all times of our lives and everyone's life. And no matter what we have done or what we've heard done or what we've seen done or someone else has done, there's always hope. And when bad things happen, and even happen to us, we never know the end of the story, an ending that only God knows. So keep hope, keep faith.